Thank you, everybody. I'm sorry we're starting a little bit late. And I want to correct myself. I said that our two mayors have been reelected. Mayor Wisner is such a gentleman, he didn't correct me in public. He was not running. We'll save that for another couple of years when we've been congratulated. So do a roll call.
Governor Quinn, Secretary Hannah, Chair Wolf.
Here.
Director Bank.
Here.
Director Canham.
Here.
Director Morris.
Here.
Director Prado.
Here.
Director Ross.
Here.
Director Saldana.
Here.
Director Towns.
Here.
Director Wiseman.
Here.
Chair Quorum is physically present, but in addition, Director Canham would like to attend the meeting by phone, which is one of the, and he meets one of the approved reasons for such participation. This approval also includes the director's participation in the executive session that will be held later today.
Okay, thank
Move
you.
To approve.
Okay, we have a motion to approve Director Cano's participation by telephone.
So moved.
All in favor?
Second. Aye.
All opposed? Okay, thank you, Tom, for joining us.
Thank you.
Okay, we're going to start with the IT presentation.
I'd like to introduce Joe Cambidge. This month's presentation and our focus is going to be what we're doing to enhance our IT preparedness. As you know, Joe started in the fall of last year. You'll recall that last year we had an in-depth presentation on PCI compliance, so that will be one of the items covered here among others. But since doing that work, you know, I think we've made solid progress to make sure we have the right plan and IT underpinnings to support our operations going forward, but there's still clearly more work to be done. So Joe's going to talk a little bit about our long-term planning, the assessments that we're undertaking in our long-term planning to make sure that we have the right IT system and the right infrastructure in place to support our operations going forward. I think that, you know, as you know, the tollway will always, first and foremost, our responsibility will be our roads and the infrastructure that we maintain, but we are increasingly a technology organization as well. So that work's very important, and I wanted to make sure you were all aware of the work that we've been doing. So, Joe, if you'd like to get started on your presentation, thank you.
Thanks very much, Christy. Good morning, directors, everyone. Actually, my six-month anniversary was last week ago, Monday, and during the last 6 months, a major portion of the time that I've been here I've spent on really looking at IT in general, looking at what works, what doesn't work, or could use improvement. Basically, based on that, I've come up with a number of things. What our challenges are going forward, try to establish a number of goals that we have to achieve to be successful, and also try to put together a game plan for, at least an initial game plan, for trying to make improvements and get us going in the right direction. As far as I'm concerned, and I feel the foundation of a sound and stable IT environment is based on a well-developed strategic vision going forward. In addition to that, we need to have a plan for achieving that vision, where we want to be in the future. Once that plan and that vision is established, every step we take as an IT organization has to move us in the direction of accomplishing that goal, that vision. Based on what I've found and what I've seen so far in the IT organization is, historically, there really has been a lack of that future vision. There really hasn't been any long-term plan. IT has very much become an ad hoc type tactical organization where they deal with issues as they come up. There's no direction that they really wanted to end up at after a number of years. The organization has become very much in kind of firefighting mode. Another thing that I noticed as I started to get involved in this assessment is it seems as though IT took very much of a kind of a hands-off attitude towards the tollway in general and the rest of the departments, in that when opportunities arose where IT could get involved with satisfying the requirements of other departments, they didn't really take advantage of those opportunities. So what that did was it forced the departments to really, because they had requirements for IT type needs, to go off on their own and really do development in their own departments, develop their own systems or hire people to build the systems for them. So what happens when you have these two, a lack of a long-term vision and kind of a hands-off attitude towards the rest of the organization, is you basically get into a very segmented environment where you've got little pieces of IT spread out across the entire organization. It becomes very difficult to support Data that's similar starts ending up in multiple systems across the organization. So it's hard to access it from a central spot. In addition to that, you tend to have you duplicate products and services across the organization, so it ends up costing you money, and they don't integrate well, so you can't go to a central spot, a central system to get the information you need. One other thing that I found is there's some basic fundamentals related to IT that need to be addressed to make IT successful. Director Morris brought up just in the last 2 hours the life expectancy of technology, and he mentioned a 5 to 10 year time frame. I think that time frame is far smaller. It's really more a 3 to 5 year time frame is what you're looking at as far as technology. When equipment and software tends to go end of life, what basically happens is it's not supported by the vendors. And if it is supported, you have to pay extra money for it. You start to lose the capability of enjoying new enhancements that come with newer technology. A lot of times, problems develop. You have outages because things are just old. They break. It could actually lead to compliance problems where, because you can't upgrade or your systems are out of date, you can't put the latest patches on to maintain security. What I've found during this assessment is a lot of our equipment and software is, if not already end of life, is going to be end of life in the near future. the tollway system, the actual electronic tolling system, the storage environment will go into life at the end of this year. Many of the servers are already end of life. The database software and the operating systems will be outdated within 1 to 2 years. Another key component and fundamental part of IT is monitoring. Not having good monitoring in place is kind of like driving your car in the dark without the lights on. You basically you can't see what's happening, what's coming at you. You don't know what's going on. Not a good situation. What I've found as far as looking at our current IT environment is that we have no centralized monitoring platform. Monitors are pretty much spread out across the environment. So there's no central spot for basically finding out where we stand as far as our systems. In the case where we do have monitors, they're not necessarily always configured efficiently. We're not monitoring the right things. There's a lot of noise in the monitoring system. So we're receiving alerts that really don't mean anything. We're not just getting the important data. We're getting bombarded with information that doesn't really mean much. Another thing that I found is that related to our outsourced systems, those are basically being monitored by the companies that provide them to us. So we're not getting a good vision into what's actually how these systems are operating, how they're running, whether they're running efficiently. So I think that's another area that we need to focus on, is trying to pull that back into the tollway so we know what's going on. One other fundamental concept is capacity planning and trend analysis. In an environment like this, which is extremely like the trading environment that I'm used to in my past lives, I guess, we're dealing with millions of transactions a day and systems that need to be up and running at all times, really. It's very important that we put in place mechanisms that we know when we're going to get close to exceeding the capacity of our hardware, our software, storage environment, network, especially in a governmental agency where procurement takes months in most cases to buy new hardware. And if you're in a situation where you're running out of gas in some part of your system and you need to go buy something, it's not a good situation. So capacity planning, trend analysis is extremely important as far as being able to predict when we're going to be exceeding capacity on different components of the system. I think that this is definitely an area that we need to focus on. Within days of start coming to work here, a capacity problem was brought to my attention related to the databases on the tolling system, where we were within months of exceeding the capacity of the storage. The approach that was being taken was trying to find excess storage in different parts of the storage environment, adding it to those databases and buying a month or two to give us some room to figure out what was going on. Basically, what we did was I initiated an overall assessment of the storage environment at the tollway, and what we were able to do is find excess storage that we really didn't know was in place, and get us in a position where got us into a position where we have over a year of capacity. So this is just something that we need to be looking at. Another thing that needs to be looked at in the current environment is our testing environment. They've actually become outdated. They don't support the systems that we have in many cases when we need to refresh the test environments. It puts them out of, we can't use them to test the systems during the period.
Just so that the board is aware, because we've got the slides up, which slide are you on?
Oh, I'm right sorry. Now? I'm not watching this. Actually, I'm like on the second slide. I haven't been watching that up there.
Okay, so you're on the goals slide?
I am on the...
Or approach slide.
Challenges. There we go.
Okay.
All right. Anyway, I will try to speed up a little bit here.
Okay, you
need
to take lessons from Mike.
I'm sorry. I thought Nancy was watching. She always again. I apologize. I should have been watching that. Actually, I'm still on the second bullet. I better hurry up. Let me just look at what.
So we talked about the age of the system and some of these other.
I just want to make sure I at least mention some of this stuff. So the test environments are something that we need to really look at because we've gone beyond the life of them. Let me just skip ahead to core business applications. I think that's something that at least deserves to be mentioned here. The business applications that we're running on right now are basically 15 to 20 years old, running on proprietary software and development tools. In most cases, they don't meet the regulations that need to be kept by our finance department and requires them to have manual intervention. So we've gotten into a situation where there's not much control in the end user's hands. Everything has to be done by developers. This is somewhat outdated technology, and I think it's something that we need to look at going forward. All right. Let's see, PCI compliance, I know this was discussed with you a while back. We've had it looked at by outside people. We're basically not in bad shape as far as the industry is concerned. We're ahead of where most businesses are, but there are some things that we need to address to meet our September 30th compliance date.
Sorry, PCI acronym stands for?
Purchase card, I'm not sure what the I stands for.
It's basically the standards that we have to comply with by September for protecting our credit card information or the security around our customer financial information.
It deals a lot with encryption of credit card numbers and all the personal information. But what this really comes down to is we have to make changes to completely separate the credit card portion of our systems away from everything else and upgrade our testing to be able to uncover vulnerabilities that might exist. So we've put together a plan. We're actually in the procurement process to get the services and hardware that we need to move this forward. Another thing that needs to be addressed is our relationship with our outsourced systems. I just don't think that in the past IT has paid a lot of attention to the systems that we run to keep the business going, the tollway system, the website. So I think there needs to be a lot more involvement there so that we know what they're doing, understand the systems better so that we can better gauge whether estimates that are given to us as far as time frames and costs are valid or not. Disaster recovery is actually a point that Christy brought to my attention as a priority. I think she realized that there was deficiencies in this area. And basically, what I found is that there, as far as business continuance planning, really there's no overall tollway plan to cover making sure the critical business processes are up and running in the event that we were to lose this building. So that's something that definitely needs to be looked at. As far as disaster recovery, which is actually computer systems to back up our critical systems, we do have rudimentary DR in place. Most of it is based on backup tapes, restoring those tapes to acquired hardware we'd have to acquire, then bringing the systems up. As far as the tollway system is concerned, if this building were to go away, we would continue to collect toll data at the plazas for extended period of time, a month at a time, but we'd have no capability for processing the back end of it, violations, the actual revenue generation. So until we acquired hardware, restored the tapes, and brought this whole thing back up. So this is definitely something we need to look at from a business standpoint, is having a recovery system that gets us back and up and running in a couple hours. Policies, I won't spend a lot of time on policies and procedures. They just need to be up to date based on an industry standard. The next slide, please. Goals. We came up with six goals, and one, as mentioned before, I think we really need to establish a 3 to 5 year plan focusing on standardization, scalability, and supportability of our systems. We need to know where we're going. We need to have that vision, and we need a plan to get there. We need to look at more current technology to support the back office environment, finance, HR. We need to get away from these segmented systems that are spread out all across all the departments and get to a type of system that's tollway-like. We definitely need to strengthen the relationship with our vendors of support that provide these systems to us. We need to know how they're building our systems. We need to be able to question them on changes that they're making and know that they're doing things the way we want them to do. Obviously we need to remain compliant and disaster recovery. All systems that we implement, once we get disaster recovery and BCP in place, it's something that needs to be considered on every project that we do. It shouldn't be an add-on after we get something done. And once we get it in place, it has to be maintained. We can't just put it on the shelf and let it. Process and procedure, I think that needs to be continue on. We need to base it on an industry standard. Next slide. Okay, so these are just some of the things that are going on right now to try and take us in the right direction. We're currently still in the assessment phase, but we're documenting our entire environment. As far as hardware, software, network, single points of failure, we need to know where we are before we can figure out how to get from there to where we want to be. We are optimizing our existing systems wherever we can. The situation with the storage environment, gaining a year's worth of capacity. We're currently working on linking the Catapult system from engineering and the Sun system, which runs on the mainframe, together so that contracts are held and each one of those can be viewed from either one. So this is kind of a requirement for us right now to be able to see contracts more easily. This will be ongoing as we continue this assessment. As we identify things, we'll try to optimize what we have before we get into the real long-term plan. There's actually two things related to this next bullet item about conducting a tollway-wide assessment. IT is talking to all the individual departments and determining what their requirements are as far as the systems that they use and what they need to carry on their business. There's also the transition management performance analysis that's going on, which we are going to mesh together with the requirements that we determine and hopefully come up with total requirements for the tollway as far as where we want to go with our systems. There's three options here. We could either modify what we have, which is old, or we could go out by disparate products that we might be able to fit together and integrate and take forward to satisfy our requirements, or maybe look at more an enterprise resource planning system, which is a bigger project, more strategic, but probably where we might want to be as we go forward into the future. Based on these three top bullets, obviously we need to develop this 3 to 5 year plan. And that's the picture of where we want to be in the future. Obviously something that's going to be looked at continually, and it's going to continue to move forward as time goes on. The first few years will be very detailed, The last few probably being more general, but this is something that we use for budgeting and planning going forward. But this is a requirement. We need more, I mentioned this, we need to be more involved with the vendors that we're dealing with. We've got things going on right now with training programs, training our people on how the systems are built, developed, trying to bring their monitoring in-house so we know more what's going on in the systems. We're also working on getting dedicated development staff from one of our vendors so that they would be dedicated to the tollway. They would work on all of our projects. There wouldn't be a ramp-up time for the people that we call in to work on our stuff. And hopefully, it might cost us a little bit less money, and hopefully we can get things delivered much quicker. PCI compliance, we've got the plan for remediation. We've got the procurement in process, and we plan to be done with the remediation by middle of July to the end of July. That'll give us 2 months to reassess and correct anything if we need to, but that's the plan right now. Business continuity, we've been in the process of doing this. We've actually done business impact analysis for all the departments. It's been documented, or we're in the process of doing that right now. We are in the process of putting together the enterprise processes as far as incident declaration. And at the end of that, we'll be doing company-wide training and obviously ongoing maintenance of all this. DR, this is something that I do need to spend a little bit of time on. When I came in the door, there was actually a procurement in place to buy disaster recovery hardware for the tollway system, but it wasn't the whole picture, and it needed to be looked at. And in fact, if we would have went forward, we would have been implementing outdated technology. So we put it on hold, reassessed it, and basically now we're ready to go forward with procurement, putting together the parts list right now. This implementation will include not only the tollway system, but obviously connectivity to the website. The website will be able to connect to it, the customer support center, and also image review. All those are pieces of the tollway system that need to be considered as part of this. As part of this acquisition or purchase of hardware, we are going to refresh the production hardware that we're currently running on in this building. It's outdated. It needs to be upgraded. The stuff that we'll be recommending will put us in a supported position for 3 to 5 years. What we'll be able to do is take the current production hardware and use that as a new test system going forward. So that'll solve, this project basically solves a lot of problems, three problems minimally. So
because one of our issues, if I'm not mistaken, is we didn't have a good environment separate from our actual live, you know, the system that we were using to run our systems and programs. It's nice for us to have a separate environment where we can test new applications, work out any kinks, as we did with the online and just make sure that they're ready for prime time once they go out and are customer facing or we're deployed on our system.
We have an environment, but it's just become so outdated that it's becoming unusable. If we try to update it, you can't use it while it's being updated. It takes 2 to 3 weeks to do that. We have no mechanism for stress testing. So this, you're right, Christy. This gives us, there's a lot of benefits to this project. But the goal here is to provide a tollway system that'll be up and running in 2 to 3 hours if for some reason something were to happen to this building. So this is key. And then just standardization of our policies and procedures. We're looking to base that on a information technology infrastructure library, ITIL. I don't know if you've heard of it. It's a framework that's pretty much industry accepted, and that's what we're going to use going forward. The last slide, I won't spend a lot of time here, but there's a few important things. This basically gives the timelines for all the items that I discussed. You'll see that this one down here, the DR thing does go into next year, but we're planning on at least a 6-month procurement process. If we could shorten that up, your help, John. We could probably bring this in a little sooner. We've marked the items that the start where we would require professional service to help us complete those items, and then any place where we'd have to procure hardware or software are marked with a flag. And so we'll be coming to you with them.
I don't mean to cut you off.
No.
I just wanted to, you know, we've tried to give you some indication here of where there would be procurement that obviously you would become involved in. There may be, as we move forward with an assessment, a need for additional or other procurements. I didn't want to say, we don't want to say that this is everything, but we are trying to give you a sense of when and for what purposes generally we're going to need to take on, you know, some procurements, and there'll be obviously some action of the board required for those.
That's
certainly having the 1 year storage capacity that you suggested is of some comfort. However,
that was
PCI compliance. I can't tell you how important that is.
I understand.
And you know how important it is. And to the extent you can accelerate making that happen, that's really important, because when you have customer information and other identity theft potential, you don't want to have anything other than a solid system there. So that's critically important.
Understood.
The disaster preparedness and recovery, those two things are red flagged for the right reason. I think whatever you need to do needs to be done and brought back here as appropriate to move forward as quickly as we can, because those need to be rock solid.
Yeah, this here, like I said, this one, it's under the label of disaster recovery, but really solves, as far as I'm concerned, three problems. It gets our production environment that we're running on available, you know, a supported state. It gives us capacity to live on it for, you know, 3 to 5 years. It provides us almost a real-time backup to that system, and it also gives us a new test environment. So there's multiple benefits to that project.
So again, on PCI compliance, we're confident, and we're working with our outside vendor who's done the review. And again, as Joe mentioned, you know, there was some confidence in that. It looked like we were
right.
In pretty good shape. There is some additional work that's needed, but at this point, we're very confident that we will meet that September deadline and hopefully deliver something before. On disaster recovery, as Joe mentioned again, at this point, we certainly have all the data necessary for us to go back and collect any tolls or any revenues that were owed on our system. So I don't want to, you know, overstate it, but at the same time, we'd like to get to a point where we can be up and running, you know, as close to immediately as possible if we did have some significant incident, and up and running in a way that's very much the same as our normal course of business. So I wanted, you know, really to give Joe the opportunity to talk a little bit about the work he's been doing in the last 6 months, and also make sure you're all aware, as we all know, so much of our activity is now about technology and what we're doing with technology, and these underpinning the systems are as important, or maybe even in some cases more important than sometimes the outward customer-facing components that we all hear a lot about. So I wanted to make sure you all had confidence that we were looking at it and looking at it systematically.
And I think it's great we have the strategic timeline as we reconstitute our committees and we have an operations finance committee. There might be a group, a subcommittee or something of that can monitor this, and Joe can come back and just keep people, board members, updated on it as we go along, so all of the board can feel confident that some subset of the board is on top of this and tracking and helping Joe if there was anything and Christy that they might need in this area.
I appreciate that. If anybody has questions, you can always call me. Thank you.
Thank you. Any further questions? Okay, we have public comment. We have two people who have asked to speak. We have Jack Ronan, and then we have Jim Garrett. You want to go up to the microphone? I know Mr. Ronan's been here in the past and has been concise and direct with us, and that's what we hope from all of our public speakers, so that we can hear your ideas and then move on.
Thank you, Madam Chairlady, and the board and other assembled folks that are here. Compared to everybody here who's dressed in suits, I feel like I'm somebody who's just got off of an Aeroflot airplane ride. And if you know anything about the history of Aeroflot, it was, at least historically, Russia's airline, their national airline, and you could carry chickens on board and little animals and everything, and this was considered normal. Earlier there was discussion about the focus groups. And I decided instead of waiting for focus groups to get back to you, I would get back to you right away. And I made a little PowerPoint of my own. I don't know if it's terribly visible here. But the first thing I would do is continue to control the damage of the previous administrations in the OASIS situation. And I think the OASIS is, the products are too expensive. It was this board and this administration is carrying the burdens of bad ideas of the past. And I would say just do everything you can do for damage control there. And I realize you don't have unlimited ability because there's contracts and long-term and all kinds of things. But that would be the first thing I would do. In the future, if the Prairie State Tollway is ever built, I would take a more Sam Walton model, and instead of looking at the OASIS as some sort of place where you could charge as much as the traffic will bear, really try to do the opposite and go up against the trend of whatever was the past attitude there, and see how far you can take it and still maintain a classy presentation. The next thing I would do is continue to do what I've seen on the section between O'Hare and Milwaukee, and the state of Wisconsin, and that is there's been very few traffic backups since the rebuild. In the early 2000s, it was a nightmare. I would go from the O'Hare area to Antioch, and I can't tell you how many times I was swearing inside because there'd be 10-mile backups. And this was throughout the entire summer. And I'm not talking about the rebuild period. I'm talking before the rebuild. And so anything that can be done to keep doing nighttime maintenance, pothole repairs, things like that, to limit the potential backups, keep on keeping on and avoid those backups. And then lastly, I would say the distinction between the tollway and most of the old urban expressways around Chicago is the tollway is the classy highway. And I would say, once again, continue to do everything you possibly can to maintain this image of this highway being the really classy highway. And you don't always have to bring in consultants to do this. The idea of using university talent, let's say we have a number of architectural schools in the greater Chicago proximity, to get these young people involved to work with you on very specific initiatives and maybe not so specific initiatives, but to build that sort of rapport and avoid the fees of consultants and come up with some bright ideas at the same time. So these are just three ideas that I'm going to present, and I hope you can take them to heart. Thank you.
Thank you. Would you like to leave your PowerPoint with the executive director? Okay, thank you very much. Mr. Garrett.
The microphone's not working?
I think the microphone is working.
This is my PowerPoint, so I'm going to kind of let you pass those back as we go. Good morning. My name is Jim Garrett. I'm president of the Chicago Southland Physician
Industry. Yeah, if you can use the microphone.
Okay,
it's better for the people who are looking on the computer.
Gotcha. Good morning. My name is Jim Garrett, and I'm president of the Chicago Southland Convention and Visitors Bureau. We are the official destination marketing and management agency for the entire Chicago Southland region. Our area is from Midway Airport, south to Piatone, Indiana border to Joliet. Our mission is to bring in conventions, trade shows, travelers, so people, when they come into town, spend money, stimulating our economy, to keeping people employed, keeping businesses moving forward. We've had a challenge over a number of years with issues, and I'm here to address two of those issues. One of the issues is the fact that we need hospitality logo signs on the tollway system. These are the blue signs for hotels, restaurants, and service stations. Many of you may be aware that several years ago, you initiated a pilot project program in Elgin for hotel signs only. I am assuming it has been a very successful program. We run the impression that the intent of this program was to accelerate it and expand it throughout the entire tollway system. I have been making that request for a number of years with very little success. I'm here asking for your help and appeal that this be done. This will give you an idea. I know this is very small. I wish I had a PowerPoint, but this is my PowerPoint. These dots represent locations needed for hospitality loading dock. We realize, and we're sensitive to the situation at the Oasis, where you have obviously service stations and your McDonald's and your Burger Kings and so forth. We're merely requesting as a first step that hospitality logo signs be installed at the necessary exits for hotels as a first step. We have been very successful, and I want to thank Christy for this. We've made a first step. We've initiated some symbol logo signs on the approach to Torrance Avenue. A good, small, but a good first step. These are some samples of how I'd like to see that expanded. Now, I know this takes the cooperation of both IDOT and the Toll Authority to make this happen. Where we might be able to put logo signs above the roadway so that people are aware that they have enough lead time to see the signs, react, take time, and exit off. As you know, at the Oasis, we currently have signs over the roadways on top. So they're allowed there. Why can't they be allowed in other sections of the roadway system? As a result of not having signs up for hotels, restaurants, and service stations, the Bureau has initiated an aggressive program to advertise those facilities by utilizing commercial billboards. We've put up many of them. It's costly. These billboards cost anywhere between $20,000 and $30,000 a year. I hate to use the phrase in Illinois, pay to play, but in this instance, all the participants pay their fair share. We don't make any money. We're just trying to help these businesses survive and keep their employment high. It's been difficult. I don't want to do that any longer. I also found out that in other states, Ohio, Pennsylvania, and other states that have tollway systems where you pay the fees, they also have logo signs already installed. My question is, why can't we do it here? This will give you an overview of how frustrating it is. I've got hotels under Chapter 13, receivership. This property is 23% occupancy. This hotel's closed. Closed. Chapter 13, lost franchise. Closed. Lost franchise. Lost franchise. Closed. Bankruptcy. Chapter 13, receivership, bankruptcy. That can be stopped. I need your help to make it stop. I'm asking for your support to allow those signs to be installed. Life is about flexibility and trying to figure out a solution. I'm not a bad guy. I'm a nice guy. I'm really just trying to do my job to help these hotels. That's what it's all about. We have overwhelming support, and I've shared this with Christy. And I want to read you the list of those organizations that are 100% supporting the need to move forward to get this up. Chicago Southland Convention and Visitors Bureau. We represent 63 municipalities in the Southland. Chicago Southland Chamber of Commerce, over 800 members. Chicago Southland Economic Development Corporation, 32 municipalities. Chicago Southland Chamber of Commerce, 2,600 members. Cook County, I've discussed this with Tony Prinkwinkle, supporting it. Destination Marketing Association International, formerly the International Association of Convention and Visitor Bureaus, 2,800 members. DuPage Mayors and Managers Association, 32 municipalities. Illinois Council of Convention and Visitor Bureaus, 52 bureaus throughout the state of Illinois. Illinois Hotel Lodging Association, 450 members. Illinois Municipal League,